Keep doing the open eyes and the sitting, and it seems very continuous throughout the day, and that's great. And when walking, I've seen a lot of greed and keep seeing it. Notice that there's always like kind of preference, like identification. And that just noticing is great. When I don't realize it, there are different thoughts. Oh, maybe I should take this path and go the other way. And maybe I should go around this way. And that makes keep going. Whether when I notice that, I was like, okay, it doesn't really matter. Either way, it's fine. But it just seems like a defilement party. Like every moment, there's something that to be...
Making a choice is not always a defilement.
Right, but I see... I see like a little thing coming at, oh, I don't like this. Oh, I like this. There's like always little thing here and there. This seems funny because there are so many.
That's good. Messi put me mad there. The dishes are there. Oh, lunch out everybody. Do I love her? Me, I do it. Oh, lunch everybody. Lunch everybody. Do it. Say, Kasum Piara. Do I? So it's good that you see all this. There's no need to judge any of it as right or wrong. Just keep recognizing and the process.
It's dumb. Mm-hmm. When I see defilement as a result of something, and that end.
What do you mean as a result of something?
Result of just wanting something, or the thought becoming like a greedy thoughts or aversive thoughts, that defilement and when Saida says like attitude, that's a different thing, or yeah, that's the same thing.
Is the attitude is the way you watch.
Right?
Like tua ho yo yo kilita ne ho. The bottom net below quality, look to a miller.
The bottom, a kitty than it,
So when Seattle talks about attitude, he's really talking about the way in which we watch something. Like, are we watching in a greedy way? Or are we watching in an aversive way? Yeah, are we watching with resistance? Yeah, so that's what he means by attitude. Of course, we could have an attitude about things in general, right? Yeah, but he's concerned about the attitude with which we are observing. Like sometimes we might be anxious in the way we are being mindful, like we're afraid to lose mindfulness and we try very hard. So that's anxiety trying to be mindful rather than, you know, just effort. There's anxiety also making the effort, you know, so like working with the effort. So that's what he's concerned about. Like what's working with our mindfulness? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Great. Thank you. Just angry attitude tends to see afterwards angry thoughts. They're like greedy lens seem to see greedy thought. It's just it seemed connected, so I was just getting a bit confused, I guess.
Tua mina yo yo se upama loba seka ကြိုက်တာမြင်တယ်ဒေါသစိတ်ကမကြိုက်တာမြင်တတ်တယ်ဒါပေမဲ့အဲ့ဒါတကယ်တမ်းကြည့်တဲ့စိတ်ထဲက
သဘောထားမဟုတ်ဘူးဒါစိတ်အခြေအနေပေါ့နော်အာရုံဖြစ်တွေ့ရတ
ာ Yeah when you see
သဘောထားကဒီအထောက်တဲ့ဖက်မှာရှိတဲ့သဘောထား
Yeah when you
see ဘာလို့တုံးမှုတုံးရှင်းတယ်လဲပေါ့ပြောင်းလဲမလုံးနဲ့ပြောင်းလဲမလုံးဖြစ်တိုင်းဖြစ်တိုင်းလည်းမမေ့ရဘူးသိနေရတယ
်
သုံးခုကအရှိန်ကခုက experience ကိုပြောတ
ာ Yeah yeah
နောက်ဆုံးတစ်ခုကအထောက်တဲ့စိတ်ကိုပြောတ
ာ Okay so Sierra said he says what you're describing is just the experience like the mind that you see when the mind is colored it you know when greed colors the mind it likes what it sees or when aversion colors the mind it dislikes what it sees that's what you're observing that's the object right and then there's the way you notice this right that's the attitude he's talking about so if I don't know whether you see if there's the 23 points of how to have the right, like, what is the right attitude for meditation or something. One of them says, Pita, it says, don't try to, like, try, we're not trying to create something or push away something, right? And that's talking about the experience, right? We're not trying to hang on to the experience or push it away. But then we don't forget to be aware. So that's the attitude with which you're watching what you notice. So when you see that the mind is greedy, you don't reject it either. But you continue to recognize that this is what's happening. You continue to be aware. So that's the attitude with which you watch even those very minds again.
Yes.
So look, it's kind of separating what's being seen from what is doing the watching, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got the advice to try anchor myself into sounds or hearing and sight because I said that it was very hard to like to be present with the out breath and the sensation from that and yeah I tried that out and well I think it was good it was it's something I'm gonna try more also to be present with the sounds and sight but yeah it wasn't really obvious that am I looking or am I just being aware of the sight sensation but I think I'm getting there but it's I'm not sure if it's supposed to be like obvious but but yeah I'm working with that
okay
and also I'm not sure if I'm like being present with the only the sounds or also the sensations in my like physical sensations in the ears
Mm-hmm.
And when you said it was it felt good, what was the experience of feeling good? Was it less like the tension on the out breath? Was that giving the mind a break from that kind of tension, or?
Yeah, I got more calm, and then I could like I could. Take my attention to the breath, out breath, at least a few times,
mm-hmm.
and I could like go back to the hearing sensations because I was starting to like get tense
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
from okay. feeling the yeah. But overall, it seems really hard to like be. Just present with the physical sensations. Like I thought I've been present, but it's. I think there's usually like now I'm gonna accept this. Now I'm going to accept this. And it's not really being, just watching the sensations. So it's, yeah.
Great.
Kiva. What do you call that? When you tell me to dinner, look, you're really done, naturally done, not dinner, look, you're look. To Alexis and Trilla, with you, to a tan to the Chakansamu, you kind of let to get at the Chakansamu, let to come on, you look me out, and a two. Mina Nechara, when you kind of turn. Mina Nechara, so to like to Trillo me out, but some mean pizza chaffy that piano. Aroma to Nene, Lulu Yare, the Menti had to. Peso Pantella, Mati Ureta met Nene Nene who counted at the Sess Sanji met. Yes, keep doing that. So.
When if I close my eyes, I tend to be feeling really sleepy in the last few days. So a lot of my exploration has been with open eyes and, you know, with the different sense doors. And I was exploring a little bit between, you know, seeing and looking. And say I was just walking past, you know, the front garden, and there's an array of different flowers. And this, what's interesting is automatically, like quite quickly, it would be like one set of flowers that would kind of catch the attention already. And even if I wanted to step back a little bit just to look at like all the flowers, but it keeps on, there is this energy that keeps pulling like towards, yeah. So that's kind of interesting, and it happens in different settings. Like in this room, it would be immediately like the butterfly. It would keep kind of, you know,
catching
the attention. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that's the energy of, you know, maybe Loba, is kind of this catching kind of feeling, or is it just attention?
Just noticing.
Yeah,
you're noticing
attention.
Yeah, you're noticing the mind is looking there. The attention of the mind through the sense, eye sense, is going there. That's what you're noticing. Whether it's motivated by greed is another step that you can notice. But you know, it can also just be a, like the mind just generally tends to be. Yeah, just generally tends to be directing its attention here and there. So. He said you can notice that energy. Attention of the mind.
So it's only if I then say I want to get this flower and like take it, then maybe that's.
Yeah, maybe that'll come later. Or even if you find yourself like, I don't know, more well. Seeing the attention is good. Seeing that the attention is being directed. So you're noticing how the mind is working.
And also noticing kind of the like the thinking, background thinking that drives like our decision, like little thoughts, you know, like coming up here, I was like, oh, I didn't want to go first, so I wanted to come a bit earlier, so I sit like further this way, so it's just continuously, like background thinking that, but seeing the connection that kind of.
So I'm just trying to check in. Say, "Ka, miu miu, chance to be that's really true."
But I do find, and maybe because the fact that I'm in a retreat setting, that's always kind of a little nag, kind of like, "Are you practicing?" Like. You know, be aware. So then I actually then kind of have to tell myself, okay, just don't do anything. But I notice awareness is there anyway. But there's constantly this doubt or this feeling that I have to, like, work harder.
Yeah. Yeah. And so come with no sika. Chow chara bo, the dishila, lo lo nila. So when you see the awareness, you don't have to worry. Then when you have a doubt, then work. Right? When you're not sure that the awareness is there, then work, he said. When you see it, then that's, you can just let it do its work. And then when you're not sure again, then make it sure.
Mm-hmm. And at the moment, I'm just letting, I'm just any objects that's most obvious at that moment. And I'm, just letting it
boya, boya,
pass.
Boya. Mm.
Got it.
And the other thing I've been exploring for some time is there's kind of this like little sense of restlessness that kind of goes on quite regularly. Mm. Like just that kind of drives me from making a cup of tea, and then I think if I have the tea, then I'll be content, then I have the tea, and then I want to sit on the sofa, and you know, I sit there. Yeah, so it's just this constant jumping.
Moving.
From, yeah. like, you know, then I'm sitting, like someone else is sitting there, I was like, oh, that looks quite nice, you can look out to the view outside, and then I will see someone on the hammock, and oh, that is probably nicer on the hammock. So I'm not necessarily following everything, but it's just tracing. And I've been wondering what is it? Is this just like, are we just not comfortable with the sensations behind this restlessness that's driving us to then keep on doing actions to fulfill that gap?
Mm-hmm.
And also that's kind of also why I go into things like reading or distraction or going on Facebook or something like this. That's when that's kind of where I go to really distract. And also it seems all awareness is gone when, especially with using the phone or talking. So I wonder if, I don't know, is it a matter of practicing, like having more awareness when I'm using the phone or, yeah.
Restlessness to put a mere shiny there, a sick out to a peromanian, a machine, my two lapeli taulame. You like be tiny. So far, one more time, book out with him, so far, one more time. Merci, I ya wow. Oh. So, so noticing the restlessness, Seattle said, you know, you can just take the time to observe the restlessness, not following it, and just checking it out to see what's motivating it. Sometimes it's dissatisfaction with the moment and greed for something else, more comfort or something. Sometimes it's, yeah, not like being, liking to be still, wanting to be moving. Sometimes it's just boredom. The mind is just restless and needs, but we can actually just settle into the restlessness. If there's nothing urgent that needs to be done, you can settle into the restlessness and just watch its energies and the way it works. The mind has a false sense of feeling settled when it gets what it wants. right? And then when it feels like there's something it needs, then it just keeps being restless, you know. But the more we respond to the restlessness by, you know, doing its bidding, Seattle says, the more restlessness grows. There's some story of somebody who thought he would meditate, and then he thought, maybe he shouldn't do it on the bed, he should go to the altar room, to the meditation room. So he sat there and he thought, no, it's not comfortable, he wants to do it lying down. He went to lie down, and then he was like, no, he's falling asleep, he should go back to the altar room. He just goes back and forth. But he says, like, you can just meditate, you know, just know what's happening. Yeah. One yogi gave an account which was quite funny, because she saw how it was a hot day and she was looking for somewhere she could just relax and be cool. And she said from the beginning, like the first place she sat at, she was like, oh, this is perfect. So she always started with, this is perfect. And then the mind would find the imperfection. And then she would then be like, I think this other thing would work. Then she would go and she'd be like, this is perfect. Then she would find the imperfection. And she'd go to the next place. And she drove herself nuts. I think she moved like 6 times. She just couldn't. Yeah, so perfection doesn't exist. Yeah, so we just need to. Yeah, he said if we just would allow that imperfection in, after a while we can just become okay with the way it is right there. Yeah. Perfectionism can also bring restlessness. Because perfectionism, well, it's a kind of greed, because it never thinks what's happening is enough, what it knows is enough, and so there's this restlessness to always be better, and that restlessness is not sort of useful, that sort of motivation.
But is it more helpful to just observe this process of wanting perfection, or rather than, because sometimes there's things I can say to myself to remind myself to be content.
Just observe. Don't explain it away.
Okay.
Yes, don't.
Because I can convince myself, like, this is good enough. No. Okay.
Don't explain it away. Yeah. Sinjin bro, shu piam la mo mo shu lo mo sinjin. Yeah. The only adjustment we want to make is in the shift to becoming observant of this what's happening, this restlessness, shift to interest in observing its behavior rather than a shift to change restlessness. Yeah. So the shift is to observing, to getting in touch with it.
Okay. Thank you. Yes. I've been feeling very creative, alive and joyous, and there has been so much joy that I feel like laughing all the time. But I don't feel comfortable with laughing out loud here in this environment, because people are so quiet and doing their inner work. And yesterday I was having these urges to laugh, and I had to go for a walk, and then I went for a walk and laughed and walked and laughed and walked.
That's so sweet. Good, he said, that's okay. And know that you're laughing.
Yes, it was a very interesting feeling to be aware of the laughing and of the shaking in the body.
Yeah, he said, here it's like so, like we're all tied up, boxed up, too controlled. Yeah. Even though there's so much freedom.
But then I came to think that if it's if there is too much identification with this joyful state of mind, is it like
is there?
I don't know actually.
You can't
it
tell
feels
you.
Good.
You can't tell. Joy pitahana tu nga bolukran. Ngane te patta ne lasra patta la lo tu mero tu mati u ya shin pya ma pyo pya lo ma ya be lo shin pya ma lo lo ti ma le tu ma de ga
ai le
you need to observe to see whether you feel
lo we ti ya ma hu sai sin ye ni ya de lo we tu tu we ma
yeah he says it's just like
you get
identified with sadness. When we are sad, we really feel like I am sad. I can't kind of separate myself from the sad. Yes. But you know, we can in the same way we can see whether we're identified with joy. You know, whether we feel like I am, you know, the joyous person. So or whether we see So if you like think a little bit about it, about when you feel more identified, then you can sort of see whether there's some identification or less identification, right? Yeah, like we probably recognize identification when we are angry and sad, right? Yeah.
Okay, and another thing.
Yeah, but everybody is different, right? So you just need to observe to know what's happening. So whatever we are experiencing in the mind, Sarah says, remind ourselves, of course, that this is another nature of the mind. And what's that like? As much as we can. And if we sense the identification, notice that. What does identification feel like?
Okay, and then a couple of days back I was having breakfast and eating an apple, and a piece of apple got stuck between my teeth, and I felt really annoyed about it, and straight away I kind of wanted to take it out, but then I wanted to stop around the sensation of irritation and explore it. And I found it really hard to explore or somehow be aware of this sensation when you know that you are able to take it out whenever you want.
Yes.
But then I came to think that if you have, like, if you compare that to some kind of emotion, to grief, for example, so you can't kind of like
take it out. Yeah.
And so is it beneficial to train with that kind of things to, in order to be able to handle or somehow be mindfully aware of those things that are not
here yet.
Yeah, or that you are not able to take away.
Yeah, so to train with the things you can so that you can then train with the things that are harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pandi nyat do re tu thauk chin na sait phit de na na sait do re sait phit do tu ai ha o shu bo chou sa re re di sait do da le o ma thauk de u thauk lo lwan lwan le na thauk bo shu bo chou sa shu bo khet de re ai
ai
tu sin sa re re tu dia tholu lwe de tholu mu lwe de ha ja ro a ro aku di ha le le chin ya la
yes
we should we can he said train the mind when it is
well chan da le se
ji ya
ma chan ai sin ye de se ji ja ro ji ya khat de ba lo to twin de
yeah it is easier to train the mind when
ma to ma ne ji ja wa le chin bi
ya yeah learning to observe what's difficult without wanting it to go away like relaxing into accepting and observing
ဒီစိတ်ကအကျင့်ပါနေဘယ်လိုပဲဘယ်မကောင်းတဲ့အာရုံလိုက်တော့နေတဲ့ဘောပါဗျာမတော်မနဲ့သူ့နေမတော်မနဲ့သူ့အာရုံတိနေဖို့ကတမင်တက်တက်ကိုကျင့်နေတာဘုရားထုတ်တာဒိတ်တက်ကိုကျင့်တမင်တက်တက်လေးကျင့်နေ
because the reflex of the mind has been trained for so much of our lives to just instantly resist what's not comfortable it's you know because of what is experienced before and so now we're almost like training the opposite you know watching that reflex and then watching it relax and then seeing what it's like when it's not reflexively reacting
no cha cha chi lo le chin pi lo khan khan na yin ni la lo sik ka ta phi phi lak khan la
yeah and then when we do that repeatedly the mind starts to get familiar with that phase with that sort of posture of mind towards its relationship to what it experiences.
Yeah? 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 Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah?
So the classic example, you know, is observing pain. And Sierra always says when there's physical pain, the mind reacts, right? The mind reacts. It feels uncomfortable. It feels like tight. And he says then not to watch the physical pain, but to watch that tightness in the mind, right? The mind that's kind of like resisting or trying to not feel the pain or whatever. Just watching that and as we keep learning to watch the resistance in the mind, and of course Sierra always says, you know, we don't have to force ourselves to do this. So there's always an escape so the mind doesn't push itself too far. And then watching that, we begin to relax and we can actually start seeing what's happening as it is without the resistance in the mind. So that's what he means, right? Yeah, we can train the mind when it's easier.
Thank you.
Okay, I feel that at the moment I feel envy to her because her feeling joy, so it's okay. Joy is a nice thing, yeah. But it's also that she's somehow doing better than me because my mind is full of doubt and things which are difficult. So I just want to tell that I got envy.
Okay.
So I have two questions. The first thing is about anger. I got very angry last night, and that's interesting. Well, first I had something I got to my mind, I'm worried about, maybe for good reason, maybe not. But later on, I just got so angry. I was angry at everything. The wind, the trees, the cat, the flowers, the people, everything. I was just angry.
Yes.
And I was angry. And I thought, okay, I'm angry. Yeah. I'm angry. But I kept on being angry.
Yes.
So I was quite a long time. Then there was this evening sitting, and somehow there when I was meditating, so
yeah.
It went off. Mm. But I want to ask about this strong feelings like anger or anxiety and things like that. I did try to see it. I did try not to hang on it, but it was so powerful.
Yes. Okay. Lolo se ara tu na ne won to ni de e ka ma le tu pyo ni lo. Tu ko dai ya tu a doubt phin ni lo. Tu ma ne ya de so yin sia ta khu phit de de. ဆိုရင်ဖို့ကောင်းခြင်းကောင်းမယ်မကောင်းခြင်းမကောင်းဘူးတဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့သူဆိုရင်နေတယ်တပြည့်တူပြောခြင်းဆိုရင်ဖို့ကောင်းစီအောင်တကူမှမရှိဘူး
ဒါတော့ပြောပါနေအောင်
ပြောပြဒါပေမဲ့ Pira soy ya ni se ka doda phit la. Doda phit la blao doda phit le so yin ne. Akon lo le yo le doda phit de chao wo doda phit de myet ko doda phit de pang ko doda phit de lu ko doda phit de le ko doda phit de. Na bro nga doda phit de nga doda phit de lo de chain long pyo ni de. Eh
ai
ma. Er set doda phit ni de. Snow pine nya ni tia to thai ma be tu a tu nyin wa de. Da mai lo myo pyin than ne a chain ma blu lo.
ခုကပြောသလိုအဲ့ငါဒေါသဖြစ်နေတယ်လို့စဉ်းစားလေးတော့ဒေါသကြည့်တယ်အရင်ဆုံးပြောင်းရမှာဒေါသကိုဒေါသတဘာဝအဲ့အဲ့တစ်ချက်ပြောင်းရဒါမှသူကရှုစိတ်ဝင်လာမှာ
ည
သူကရှုစိတ်ဝင်လို့မရဘူးဒေါသကအရင်လွန်မိုးနေတော့သူကငါလည်းသူအပ်ပေးမိမိဒီတို့ပေးနေတော့ဘောင်းကြီးနေတော့ဘလို့ကလုံးလို့မရအဲ့ဆုံးအရင်ဆုံး view ပြောင်းရ view ပြောင်းတယ်ဆိုတော့ဒေါသတဘာဝပဲဆိုပြီးတော့မှသတိထားလို့ဆိုတာညညဒါသတိထားရညမှာတော့မှတော်တော့ထားရလို့ရချင်ရမရရင်မြူကအယုံခုတာအရေးကြီးတာဒါတိထားရဟာဘယ်လိုပြန်လုပ်အောင
် Yeah
အဲ့ဒီပြောင်းဖို့ဒီစိုးစား
So the first thing Seattle says is to change the view. You kept saying I am angry, I am angry, and that is definitely going to fuel anger because there's identification with that mind. So Seattle says the thing to do first is to switch the language, which sometimes helps to change, switch the view. That's to say to yourself, this is anger. This is anger. Anger is happening. This is the nature of anger. And then, if the mind is able to do that, then observing this feeling of anger, not the story, you know, not the thoughts, but the feeling of anger, the feeling that comes, and see how that feels. And if observing the emotion, observing it still like is inflammatory, you know, as you watch it's still feel like the fire is growing, Seattle says, then use a neutral object. So then he says you say this is anger and you put it aside and you watch the breath or watch yourself, watch your step or watch the touching sensation or, you know, just something very neutral. And just being aware of this and knowing the anger is there, but just aware of something else continuously. Which is essentially what you did when you went to the meditation hall. Yes, you just went to something.
Well, one thing that I realized that I started to walk very
fast.
Angry.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it, but yes. Maybe it was the wrong way to do it.
To lunch out in around door, that she in a lunch out there, and I'll check down, check there, and I'll. လုံးမှနေတယ်တ
ူဟုတ်ပါတယ်ဒေါသဖြစ်ပြီဆိုရင်တော့အကုန်လုံးသူကဒေါသဖြစ်เสียလို့ယူတော့ဒေါသကာလာပုတ်တယ်ညမှာကာလာတက်လာပြီဆိုတော
့ classic Seattle's an example of how, you know, when the mind is totally kind of consumed by that mind, the unwholesome mind, then it colors everything with its color, you know, then everything is annoying.
Yeah, everything.
Yes, that was interesting. Yes. And funny, yes. That the flowers that you were angry with, the flowers, that was funny. Yeah.
Maybe there's something I like, so I got angry for the wind, I like the flowers, so I was angry at the objects I like.
It feels good. So there was something. You can't change the house, you can't change the
house. You can't change the house, you can't change the house.
The job of anger is to be angry, Seattle says. So if you let anger fully into the mind, then that's all that will happen, is it will be angry. When you allow it completely in with the wrong view and all that, I am angry and all, he said that's what it'll do. That's its job. That's nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay, then I have another question. I have difficulty this with the seeing and looking. This morning I went to the lake and there were these small animals hopping on there, and there were a lot of them and they had the mating season, and I start to investigate their life, how they reacted, how they were hopping, how they meet each other and so on. So I was doing kind of study. I suppose that is not to be aware, because I was so interested to see what happens with those little animals.
Mm.
Yeah, that is, I suppose it's not to aware. So I shouldn't be studying
the behavior of the animals, no.
Okay.
Yes. So if you want to, when you want to observe seeing, Seattle says there's nothing to do but know that seeing is happening. Right? Mm. Because seeing is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, just recognizing that, just acknowledging that seeing is happening.
Mm.
There is vision happening, there's sight. Just acknowledging that continuously. That
seeing
would be
things, right?
And so acknowledging seeing is not acknowledging what you see.
Okay.
Right? Knowing seeing is just knowing that sight is happening, that you're not blind. That's basically what acknowledging seeing is.
Okay?
Right? So, when you close your eyes, that's not seeing. When you open your eyes, that's seeing. That's the simple act of recognizing seeing. If you want to recognize looking, looking happens when you then take something in this, in what you see, and you focus on it.
Yeah.
You look at it. So now you're looking at something,
yeah,
right? But then instead of noticing, like if I looked at that cushion, right? I want to, what I notice is that I, that movement of my mind to look. Although I know that I looked at a cushion, I'm interested in that movement of my mind to look.
So to be able to see, I shouldn't occupy my mind by studying the insects.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Or, well, just remind yourself that you're seeing.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with the fact that you were interested in the in this study.
Yeah.
We can do anything with awareness.
Okay.
So you could be aware as you're studying the insects, but in this case, you were interested in developing awareness of seeing. So then the response is, if you want to do that, then remind yourself, I'm seeing. Just for, that's it. Just, oh, right, seeing is happening.
Okay.
Very light. Mm-hmm. The mind can still be interested in what's being observed, because that's just a normal activity that we do in life anyways. So we can do that with awareness. But to develop awareness of seeing, you need to, am I seeing? Do I know the mind? Do I know seeing is happening? Very light, just like that. It's a very... very light touch, and then the awareness is there. Seeing, hearing. But our normal mode is what we see, we involve in.
Yeah.
And that tends to weaken the awareness. As we get involved, the awareness goes down. When you check seeing, the awareness comes back up of that activity. Right? So then you just... slowly the different sense doors get stronger with awareness. More awareness at each door.
So when I'm studying those, if I'm aware that now I'm studying, my mind is studying this animal.
Yes, now you're seeing your mind.
I'm interested in these animals and they are mating there. My mind is on this mode.
And you know the mind is doing this. That's awareness of your mental activity.
Yes, and not
but not much awareness
seeing.
Of seeing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yes.
I understand. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, that is essential.
Thank you. Yes, my question is about observing the sensations, body sensations, when doing meditation. As we know, usually the sensations they come and go, and there's opportunity to see that. Impermanent process. But my question is about some sensations which seems to be more stable, like from month to month. Like I have a certain tension in my chest area which more or less stays. I notice it very clearly and I try to investigate it, but it's not, I don't feel any big progress. So my question is, how to, what is the skillful relationship to this kind of sensations? Yeah.
You have a sensation of tension in your chest.
Yeah, I feel my instinct tells that it's not like health issue. It's more like something else, like something that I can't get grip on. It's not health issue. I'm still alive and happy, but
sorry if I'm losing the plot, but this tension happens when you meditate?
I'm just more aware
of it when you meditate.
Yeah.
The sense is that it's always there, a contraction here.
Oh, yeah. I see. To tiya atho in tu body sensation ne myai chi de de ro tu ba da ti ta mi la so ra yin ba ta ma a mye tin na tin na shi de ho tiya atho in po thin sha de bo da ma ho da cha mai ne ma sai u tin de le ta khu khu shi de bo ba
ma mi pi de ya ba a lo
ba lo am le bo tu ma
yo a lo ta khu lo ba de bo tha kan body sensation lo ba tu le a lo ta khu ba
siya this is there's no need to think of it specially or to like think that something has to happen to it differently. You know that it's present, and he said it's just another object. It's meditation is not about fixing it.
Object is cool over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask? Sometimes I would use this question for myself to discover the attitude: is do I like it or do I not like it? So with this sensation, do you like it?
Well, no, right. I don't like it so much because I can imagine the life without it.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, because when you said the word there's no progress with it, means you're watching it in order to change it.
Yeah.
So then if you can explore a little bit the resistance to, there's some resistance to it. Because with the mind without resistance, it's a new experience every moment. The mind says it's always here, because I have a very similar, I called it a chronic knot, and I thought I always had it. So then some teacher asked me, always, all the time, every moment of the day? And my mind would say, yes, always. And slowly I could see that every moment of sensation is new, right? But I couldn't see that because the resistance had an idea about this experience, and I always had this, then the concept in the mind, permanent, painful, me, right? And those layers I would need to see, right? I had to see those, that aspect of this experience. And then you can see any experience is a good enough experience to grow our mind. It doesn't have to be gone. We could watch this energy, this knot, whatever sensations, and you can learn everything you need to know about wanting, about aversion, about equanimity, about impermanence, right? But I always thought this had to go, then I'll be free, right? Once this is gone, so then every time I sit down, I'm watching with this agenda. And I didn't know the agenda was what was making the suffering, not actually the pain, or, you know, what the mind took as pain.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you. I think this was very helpful, yeah.
Is it
okay
to take a break? Yes.
Yes, okay.
I want to say a few words about my experience with the awareness these days on the retreat. When I look in my mind and I see certain patterns of some certain pattern of reactions that goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
That is like, I think, some thought, most times some amusing thought, and there is a certain state, I'm aware of this thought, and it is, and the awareness is colored in a certain way, and then another thought comes in and says, don't do that, stop it. And this is another feeling, in another state of being. And then some other state of awareness or being jumps in, that is like sort of detached, like looking from above, That's, and that goes on and on and on. And then I'm asking myself, and so where is this awareness? I want to look at this awareness. It's always behind me.
Yes.
And then there were a couple of times on the retreat, I was sitting in the meditation hall, and I sort of went into a sleepy state, but not exactly sleepy state, but the state's very much like sleepy state. Mm-hmm. And then, just for a moment, I went unconscious, and then I come again to consciousness, and then again I went unconscious, and when I became conscious, I look and I see that awareness is present, and sort of feeling that it was present when I was unconscious. So that's what I want to say.
Something is wrong with me. To say a pattern, she did it. To really taka taka pietal, to pianti line. Well, pianti line, di seco pianti. Di seca to cooze a capiore, but no, di lo malone. Now to seca to the line. As we now seca to the
capiore. Not
to say, not to seca.
I don't have a man in touchy and the dear.
Now, where she did it to Alupi.
Yeah, tiny.
ไอ้ง่ายตะโลผิดอ่ะไอ้ง่ายตะเราไม่เข้าตะแม้ไอ้เฉยมาตูไม่ติดติผิดนี่ล่ะอ๋อๆแต่ไม่ตูรู้ล่ะไอ้เฉยมาตูอกุน่ะไม่ติดไอ้เฉยมาตูติเนี่ยโลติเนี่ยเทนน่ะละเดี๋ยวติล่ะตูไม่ติดตะนี่เราอยู่อ่ะตูตั้วตูอ่ะเดี๋ยวเราตะนี่กูไหนติเหรอกว่าเปลี่ยนตินี่แหละบ่เนาะคุณน่ะไม่ติดชาอู้ติชาว่ะเนี่ยก็ปี้แล้วบ่เนี่ยเสียแล้วเสร็จ
The
first part where you were talking about the awareness, you know, like when the mind kept knowing, just kept keeping up with the next thing that the mind said, that's fine, you know. And yes, it always feels like the awareness, if you look for the awareness, it's still there. Yeah, so it always feels like it's behind because it continues to be aware. And he says, what happened in the sitting, wherever you are at, when you feel like, you know, you've woken up, and I mean, even if it feels like there was awareness when you were unconscious, it's fine. He says, just start from there. You know, sometimes we're not so clear, and sometimes we're more clear. That's fine.
Yeah, that way.
I'm not sure that's a great. Yeah.
It seems like the awareness is getting brighter, more continuous. Yeah. So maybe that's why mine is bright, and so this, because usually we identify with the sleepy mind. So then, if the mind is getting sleepy, I am getting sleepy. Sometimes when the awareness is a little bit brighter, then can actually watch the mind go in and out a little bit of sleepiness. It's very interesting to see the mind do that little bit, you know, in and out. And just curious, because then we think we can't watch the mind get sleepy, but awareness can watch that process. So it may be that that's what the mind is doing, is seeing it go in and out a little bit.
But I wonder if awareness... What is awareness? It doesn't matter if I'm angry or if I'm clear, if I'm sleepy or if I'm unconscious. Maybe it's present, but it's sort of the same thing as being alive.
When you train the mind, it feels like that.
Don't down to what? The awareness machine.
No. To what a machine lo. To say ka. Below web chipie to what Doda web chipie. Ain't dead nira web chipie. Ti nira web chipie. To say ka. Me? The
deal. Consciousness awareness of Makwera. No lie, ti nira consciousness of awareness of Tina.
For most people, it doesn't feel that way, he said, you know. But if the mind is trained and the awareness is always present, it can feel like you're very conscious of it, like you're conscious and awake to all experience. But he says you need to be clear yourself, whether it's just being alive or whether you're conscious that you're alive. And if you're conscious that of your experience always, then just keep going.
But I can't be conscious all the time when I sleep or things like that. But still, we react on subconscious. I think that there is some difference in terminology, because when we are talking about awareness, we're talking about sati, or we are talking about, I forgot the Indian word, the Pali word, but it's the fifth
skandha.
Vijnana is a knowing, consciousness.
Okay, we're talking about, okay, now terminology is getting, because I'm using the English word conscious, okay. Yeah, no, we're talking about sati. Remembering.
Conscious awareness, but...
Yeah.
But our life...
We are not usually aware that we are going through our lives. We go through it, but we're not always... consciously aware that we are going through.
So do you ever get, so for example, do you ever get lost in thought?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay, so what happens when you come out of being lost and the awareness, you feel like, oh, now I know what's been, now I know.
Yeah.
What is that difference? So that's, then we can start to recognize the quality.
Yeah, I feel it
right.
Very strongly,
yeah.
But body-wise, I feel it very strongly when I come out of my being lost in thought,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of me being lost in thought. But we are not all the time conscious.
Yeah.
So what is the purpose?
In the terminology in the Dhamma is consciousness is happening. As long as the conditions are there for consciousness to be arising, light and the working eye door, working faculties, then
sati is happening.
Consciousness is happening. Seeing is happening, hearing is happening. So for most people, if they don't train in any awareness, they still have their experiences. They're seeing, hearing, smelling, body experiences. Do they know in the moment that they are seeing and hearing and having body awareness? Unless awareness is there, they're just having experiences, and this is how we live our life. Ordinary mind, we all have this all the time. It's not really that different than being lost in the trance of our stories or the trance of our life. When awareness is there, it's very clear, it's a very particular quality. It knows in the present moment what is happening. So this is why we can use those times when awareness isn't there, lost in a thought or just caught in our stories, and awareness comes, what does that feel like? That's that sati. We were already seeing and hearing and mental activity. All that was already happening, but we weren't aware that they were happening as they were happening. That's what awareness does. So using that contrast, when the awareness comes back, can be a great place just to identify, oh, this is that feeling or that quality of living with awareness in the present moment, right? So rather than getting disappointed when the mind loses it, every time we've lost and come back, that strengthens the understanding. What is awareness? What does it feel like? What's the difference? And this is when people really get interested in keeping the awareness, because usually there's a sense of brightness. So it, I mean, this is the nature of awareness, is it feels clear, it's beneficial, it knows, it isn't lost, right? Consciousness, that's, if conditions are there, consciousness is happening. So this is why everyone, you know, we walk into the city, everyone's got their conscious experiences. Are you aware, if you were to ask? And then, you know, usually, probably not. Okay. Something. Just good enough. Your mind's not cooperating.
Yes.
Yeah, no, but yes, also, right. Yeah, good. No, I'm glad you spoke up, because there's no way that that would have, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is exactly what needs to be explained. Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I've been thinking a little bit about delusion and how I can explain this. I guess it's a kind of awareness when you snap out of the kind of delusion. But then, so for instance, like it's like almost like living like in a parallel universe, like having like your mind and your ideas. And then you realize when something is, when you're kind of comparing that you are in this kind of a delusion reality. Like, for instance, when you're feeling something painful, and then you realize, okay, well, it's because I'm comparing it to what I expected this to be like. And then sort of... Then what I'm wondering is, like, what is the kind of, maybe it's a bit too philosophical, but what is the function then of being in this, like, deluded state? Because that's, I guess, where you are most of the time if you're not meditating.
Moha ba dwele. Moha ba dwele. Ba philo sika amyan moha rema. Moha tenma
pyumya.
Yeah, I'm sure. Function lo mere. What is the function of the deluded state?
Moha ba lo lo. Tua exist pyum lo. No. Tua amma go phou ne, amma go phou ne. Amma ma myan phou na le tabawa o moha lo kho.
So that
amma nai myin na nyan go. No, nyan ga amma nai myin si le. Tua ho amma go amma go amma pyet aw.
So
phou tha le tabawa o moha lo kho. No, I will exist this. Now, is this being alone?
So then we come to the entire Buddhist cosmology. So the deluded state is, or delusion's design is to keep us in samsara. Mm. That's what delusion does. You know, delusion hides the truth of reality. Right? Of the reality of the reality of the mind and body. It covers it so that greed and aversion can work, and greed keeps us anchored in samsara. Greed wants us to stay in samsara. Delusion enables it by not revealing the truth. Yeah. And even having revealed the truth, even when delusion, you know, can be pushed aside, you know, greed is quite strong. It will keep us anchored in the in existence. So it's designed to keep us existing, to keep this mind, body, consciousness, this stream existing.
Because, yes, I was trying to interpret it. It's like when you're feeling like you're aware, then you're feeling like, oh, this is nature, this is as it should be, nothing is particularly wrong here, or it just is what it is. But then when you see, like, I guess that's what you mean by nature. That's my interpretation anyway. And then when I see, okay, so this is like delusion, then I wonder, like, what is what? Then what is that? It's not nature. Do you know what I mean?
There's no delusion itself is nature.
Is it? Mm.
Yes, delusion itself is nature, and you can't see that nature. I feel particularly unable to, like, I don't know, put it through the windmill of my mind, and can you help, please? I can't. Because sometimes when you all say things, I have to interpret it in a way that will, not in the words you say, but in a way that will get the answer from Seattle. Uh-huh. And right now, I can't do it. My brain just can't do it. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, maybe it's not important, it's more philosophical, but still I get stuck there.
You could say, so I'll just say a couple words. And so delusion, in saying that it's nature, we are saying that delusion also is a process. So it has its own causes and conditions, and it's part of what is here. Delusion arises in our minds. So it's part of nature, so we can say it's not self, it is a habit of mind. Every mind will have delusion, every mind will have greed, every mind will have aversion. And then where everything that also branches into, anxieties and worries, doubts, fears. When we ask philosophically, what is the role of delusion? This is where, you know, why would delusion be present? Well, because it has causes. And I don't know who it was, it may have been Sayadaw, someone said that the defilements, they're very good in a way for survival, but they're not very well equipped for awakening, for freeing our minds from suffering. So we look of how is it that we've survived. A lot of times it's through greed, aversion, and delusion, and other mechanisms as well, some of them skillful. But for the purpose of insight, for the path of freeing the mind from suffering, there are these qualities, which are non-delusion, non-greed, non-aversion. Those qualities, the Buddha pointed out, when those are well developed, well established, we can see the way things are. Right, and seeing the way things are, the mind gains more freedom. Right, so that's why those qualities are developed, and we need to see what delusion does in order to be free of it. Right, but delusion covers so many things and creates stories about life. And so we need to have a lot of seeing again and again of how much delusion comes into our moment-to-moment experience. But we also want to see that too is a habit of mind. So not to personalize it and blame ourselves for being deluded. So that's, when we say it's nature, it's to counter the wrong view or the tendency to make it about me. And then we take it me, then we get reactive to it and all the other reactions that come.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah.
About my experiences during the retreat, maybe the most prominent has been some kind of feeling of fear, being able to be aware of the fear, because it's, but I don't know, it's from the point of view of awareness, it's very simple, there is fear. Fear is happening, but then this process that has led to this awareness has something to do with meditation itself. So I don't know if it's awareness or if it's concentration or what has brought this fear up, but now I can be aware of it and observe it, and then it usually fades away.
Now fades away.
ตัวจี้ไล่จี้ดันย่อแล้วแต่ตัวบ่มาเตชะแล้วสรว่าตัวอกุมาเจ้าตรึกสึกโกฉิโลยาเลยだแม้ตะดิฉิโลเปี่ยวตาละหม่วยตัวอ้าทุกข์แค่โลบาละบ่โหตะบอทํามันน่ะเลยป่ะตะบอทํามันๆเนี่ยตะดิท้ายโหว่าบิเป็กก็อลุ่นๆอยู่ป่ะย่อ It's a combination of factors. It is your established practice, as well as the awareness that's now present, as well as right attitude, right view. And the combination of that, when you use that to be aware of something unwholesome, the unwholesome fades away.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Well, fine.
So it's always, you always require a set of conditions for a certain result. And for this result, one of the most important conditions is right view. Yeah.
Did you also say that you're concerned that maybe the meditation itself is bringing the fear up? Like that's also part of the cause of the fear you're wondering? Did I hear you say that?
Well, in a way, it has enabled it to surface, because it has been, the fear has probably been there all along, but now this meditation has somehow opened up something, blockages or something, and this fear can now surface.
Okay.
Or something like that. But I'm just, well... But from the point of view of awareness, it's very simple. But I don't know exactly like you said, it's okay. Many things have come together. Yes. So, but this is just an observation about what has happening. But then about this, there is this talk about wholesome state and unwholesome states, and then there is awareness. Awareness alone develops wholesome states, but there is also the possibility that I'm aware, like that I am angry, I feel anger towards somebody, and when I'm aware of that, then I make a decision to start to cultivate metta towards that person, and then I'm aware, of course, that I am cultivating metta towards that person. But in this approach, is it just awareness that is recommended, or is it also recommended to actively cultivate wholesome states?
The deep attayum bela, the deep attayum ne, kudo se dea, puapida, pimala, mahoye, ne upama tu, doda seco tu, tilo yare, tilo yare, dame, doda seco tile so in, echima kudo seco, puayamla, upama mita seco, puayamla mahoye, echima, doda o, tium bela,
era
tien, kudo pitama,
chitabo. The deep time, the deep name, so the deep kudo se dea.
Yeah, this is the awareness alone. Sati itself is a wholesome quality,
right? Itself is. Sati wholesome mind, or tamaria wholesome mind, confidence figure wholesome mind, now wisdom wholesome mind.
Because when we are aware, Siyadu says, sati doesn't work alone. It works, the five faculties work together. So the moment we make the movement to be aware, sati works, samadhi works, virya works, you know, saddha works, wisdom, panya works, all these wholesome qualities are working together. And so if we persist in using these wholesome qualities, we persist in being aware, Siyadu says, then yes, the wholesome will grow. So if we want to see whether these wholesome qualities are working in concert and working purely, Siyadu says, we just have to see the result of the observation. So as we continue to say, know that the mind is having aversion, Siyadu says, does the aversion get less or more? If the aversion starts increasing as we observe it, Siyadu says, then the observing is not so pure. So there's something unwholesome also in the that's working with the observation. so that it it increases the aversion that's being observed. But if the awareness is pure, if the five faculties work purely, then you'll find that the aversion starts to decrease.
Okay, fine.
Thank you. No, your one.
Yeah. Yes.
When you
yes. I don't have anything in particular to. What would I like to say? Okay, maybe I've had the question to myself a little bit, like, how is this being here different from my life before and after the retreat? I'm not seeing so clearly the difference.
Do you practice at home?
Yes.
Yeah. Sierra says if we are practicing all the time, then it doesn't matter where we are, it'll all be the same.
Except I notice that people are a lot slower and...
Yeah, but Sierra says, do we walk slowly at home?
Yeah. So, no.
Never.
That's why he doesn't ask us to walk slowly, so that we can be aware the same way when we are at home. Yeah, yeah. And he used to work, he had to carry boxes, you know, and stuff, and he had to be aware of all that, so...
What was that?
I'm debating something in my mind.
Because when I'm not sharp enough, they slow down to be away. Right?
All right.
Okay. Because the mind is already fast, right? Mind is faster than body action. So if the awareness becomes sharp, he can aware every part of body, whatever body do, awareness can see if the awareness is very sharp.
Okay.
If the awareness is very weak, they need to slow down and try to aware this awareness. That's why people are slow down and they start to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I don't have questions either, but it took a couple of days to settle down, and I think I discovered a new word, and that is relax. And
relax.
Oh.
I've been doing my meditation more or less intense.
You know, I'm yellow looked at intense
but
intense
I
oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I think I focus too hard to create something or diverse. But in these few days when I discovered just be relaxed, and it's been much more easier to just be to doing a formal sitting or walking meditation. And what's rise to my mind.
Pita, people choose our show, choose our.
And just because discover. In my meditation life, I think.
Biggest, say it again. It was
biggest discover. Yeah.
Yeah.
Biggest
discovery.
Also very important.
That's why he said he's very happy to hear that. Something about the intentions you said at the end. What did you say?
I beg your pardon?
Right at the end, you said something about. I heard some. No, never mind.
Okay.
Yes. While he was saying that he was very happy to hear that about your discovery, you was finishing your sentence.
I saw many yogi, they start to meditate, they use a lot of energy. They come to meditate, and that's why I start to calm the yogi in the center first, relax, back up. Don't hurry, not hurry to meditate. Stop and sleep. Because they come and do something, come to get something, come to do something, so use a lot of effort, a lot of energy. That makes the mind become very tense. A lot of tension comes. I saw many yogi like this. So that's why I said, just first they come, yogi come to practice, they need to learn how to be aware, relaxed with. That's why I need to explain a lot. In discussion, now you learn from the discussion and listening, the idea, and slowly the mind notice. Then apply from the experience, practicing. So the mind slowly understand how to relax. Yeah.
I'm still learning.
You
and my biggest problem is how to get back to home and continue my practicing.
Yes. Or just practice here to learn how to practice every moment, every object. So you need a lot of experience. So that's why we need to practice the whole day here. Morning, wake up, until sleep time, any posture, any time. Try to maintain the awareness. Become habit. Moment to moment, moment to moment. And habit becomes second nature, right? Make a habit becomes nature. So then you can practice in the home easier. And also seeing how to practice hearing, how to practice smell, taste, body sensation, how to aware the mind. So you need to learn here. Then after that, you go back, nobody teach you. You need to aware everything calm, right? So now you need more practice. Right? So
thank you.